ask Him to do that, and we appreciate it. Amen. All His promises are yes and amen. All right. Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. You could go ahead and find Mark chapter 5. Of course, all these scriptures are on the overhead. Glad if you're with us online, as always. Praise God. Mark, the 5th chapter. We want to continue our message, just one message, but just broken down into different parts. We want to continue our message on, it's going to be Mark 5, on faith, medicine, and doctors. You know, I thought that was going to be one message, but then turned out to be three, and it'll probably be four. But faith, medicine, and doctors. And as we've pointed out several times, please hear this again. You need to hear everything that we say to get an accurate picture of what we are teaching on, because this is a many-sided issue. In other words, you can't just hear tonight. You'd need to hear the last two. You can watch those free online. And you can't just hear a part of a message. It's, you know, because you get the wrong impression. But, you have to hear this side, then the other side balances out what you've heard before. So I'll say that again. So Mark chapter 5 tonight, beginning in verse 25. Mark 5, 25. Amen. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction," or that plague, literally. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But His disciples said to Him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Well, there's many wonderful truths we can see in this story, but tonight we'll look at an unusual one that we don't bring out too much. But verse number 26 says, she had this flow of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. As is the case sometimes today, medical science and doctors could not help her. Now, thank God for medical science. Thank God for medical research and all of that, but they couldn't help her. Amen. But she was healed by exercising faith in God. Amen. So again, it says she had spent all she had, used many physicians, and she was no better. She grew worse. Now, this is in no way an indictment against doctors, nurses, medical science, or medicine. Are you listening to me? Amen. You know, Luke, who also tells this story in his gospel, who also wrote the book of Acts, who is a traveling companion and partner of the Apostle Paul, in Colossians 4:4, he was a doctor, you know, and in Colossians 4:14, Paul calls him the beloved physician. Luke, the beloved physician. Amen. So thank God for doctors and nurses and medical research and scientific cures and treatments and so forth. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that killed hundreds of thousands, even millions of peoples that medical science has provided a cure for. Well, thank God for that. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, you know, they couldn't help her, but that was 2,000 years ago. We've come a long way in 2,000 years. Thank God we have. Thank God we have. But I promise you that if another 2,000 years goes by, and I don't believe another 2,000 years, not another 1,000, I hope another 5 days isn't going by, to tell you the truth. But I think Jesus is coming back soon. And we live in a day, you know, that's a sign of the last time, where knowledge has increased, and certainly medical knowledge of the last 100 years has increased mightily. But if we go on another 500 years, like I said, I promise you, they're going to look back at us in our day and what medical science did and go, barbarians. You know, I was watching one of those Star Treks. I watched Star Trek going all the way back to when I was a kid, you know, in the 7th and 8th grade, and, you know, Captain Kirk and Spock and Dr. McCoy, those were the leading characters. And on one of the movies, they travel back in time into the 1980s, I think, and I don't remember exactly, but they're 400 years into the future. So they come in back in time into the 1980s, and they have to go into the hospital because one of their important crew members has been hurt, and he is so traumatized by his injury, he's had an accident, he's so traumatized by his injury, he's going to die unless they can get Dr. McCoy there with his 400-year advanced medical knowledge to help him. And so in going to the hospital, there's this lady just lying out in the hall. I think they're about to take her into the operating room, and he sees her. Anybody remember this scene? Yeah, see, we got some Trekkies in there. He sees this lady, Dr. McCoy, you know, and he sees this lady lying on the stretcher. Now, this is 1980, whatever, and he's from 400 years in the future. And he sees her lying there, and she says, "Doctor, please help me, please help me," because he's got on his, you know, because he's trying to get in there. And so he looks at her chart, and he goes, "Barbarians." And he says, "Here." And he gives her a pill. He says, "Take this pill." And he walks away. And then in the next scene, she's standing up beside her, you know, off her bed going, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed." But nonetheless, there comes a time and place where doctors can't help you. And it's not just doctors that I want you to hear. There comes a time and place where financial counselors can't help you. Marriage counselors can't help you. You know, the government can't help you. Not that we want their help anyway, but the government can't help you. You know, and all these professionals, they look at your case, lawyers, professionals, they look at your case and they say, "I can't help you." But there's never a case that God can't help. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. So this is in no way, again, an indictment against doctors, nurses, and medical science and medicine. But, amen, this scripture is a reminder to us of the limitation of medical science. And not just medical science, the limitation of man's help. Man cannot always help us. Amen. And it's a reminder also not to, now listen to what I'm going to say, and as we go along, you'll understand this better, not to misplace your faith. Don't put your faith in the wrong thing. Sometimes when things get serious, people just forget about everything about God, and they run to the world for help. Amen. That's misplaced faith. We should in every situation, whether we're dealing with a problem with some child or a marriage problem or a medical problem or a financial problem or a legal problem, in every situation, we should always put our faith and trust in Almighty God. There's only one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But like I said, sometimes when things get really serious, people just forget about God and they run to the world and seek help or protection or deliverance or legal counsel or finances, or healing from man in the world. Sometimes it's kind of funny here, because the other side of this coin is sometimes people only turn to God when the world says, "We can't help you anymore." Well, whether it's a big problem, a little problem, or a medium-sized problem, whether the world can help us or not help us, first and foremost, we ought to trust God. We ought to depend on God. We ought to rely on God. We ought to go to Him first, every time, about every situation. We should always trust in Him and look to Him and have faith in Him for healing, for finances, for mental emotional problems, for family problems, for protection, hey, whatever it is, or in any other area. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, we may make use of some of these other things. We may utilize some of these other things, but ultimately and finally, Jesus is the only Savior. God is the healer, and all healing comes from God. God is our source, not the bank. God is our source, not our rent uncle, not somebody, not our job. God is our source. He is our protector, and He is our victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see, God can and does use the tools of this present day world. He may use natural things to help us, and we may take advantage of these natural avenues. But we must never, ever, ever rely on or depend on them or put them ahead of God. See, don't misplace your faith. Always recognize that God is your source. He's your help. He's your strength. He's your peace. He's your healer. He's everything you'll ever need. Glory to God. And always put your faith in Him. Look to Him first, not last. You know, people make jokes about this, but I remember when this was common. You know, when I grew up in the church in the 60s, this was a common type thinking. Somebody would say, "I want you to pray for me." And somebody would on the other end would say, "Has it come to that?" You know, has it come to that? Well, yeah, everything's come to that. Acknowledge God. Trust in Him first. Amen. So trust in Him because, saying this a lot of different ways, because number one, in life, there will be situations that arise, probably many of them, where man cannot help you. Man cannot do one thing to help you. Amen. And number two, even if they can help us, they are never to be considered our source. We still should look to God and know that he's just using these things to help us. Never rely on the arm of the flesh. I said, never rely on the arm of the flesh. Never rely on your own smarts. You know, sometimes people have the attitude of, well, I don't need to pray about this. I don't need God's help. I can handle this myself. You are, I don't mean you, but, you know, generically. Those people are so deceived. No, I can work this out. I can finagle this. I can think this. You can't take a breath apart from God. You can't think a coherent thought apart from God. You don't have any ability, natural or spiritual, apart from God. Glory to God. So don't ever think that. Amen. Praise God. See, listen to this. Keith Moore said, faith misplaced is a miracle missed. Faith misplaced is a miracle missed. What does that mean? Well, let's take this lady with the issue of blood. She finally came to the conclusion, a rightful conclusion, the doctors of my day cannot help me. And she got faith, she got healed by the power of God. But what if she'd have just said, no, this, I don't know all about this Jesus stuff. I'm just going to keep looking for a doctor. She would have missed her miracle. In other words, instead of placing her dependency and reliance on God, if she would have just said, no, I'm this is serious. I don't know about that fanatical preacher over there. I'm just trusting God. That would have been faith misplaced, and she would have missed her miracle. And in her case, she would have died. Say that with me. Say, faith misplaced is a miracle missed. Amen. And again, please understand, even if we should use some sort of natural help, we should still put our faith in God and not just in man. That'll be clear to you. Or in the arm of our own flesh. We should never replace our dependency on Him or because of what man can do for us or because of what we think we can do ourselves. Nor should we quit depending on God and trusting God and seeking God and following His counsel and ultimately and finally doing what He tells us to do, not what man tells us to do, just because we're utilizing man's help. For instance, I may not be in a position or somebody may not be in a position to pay cash for a nice car. Well, can you believe God for the money to buy a brand new $50,000 automobile? But if you don't have $50,000, what are you going to do, walk? You know, throughout the history of the world, if you couldn't pay cash for something, then they didn't let you have it. There was no such thing as buying something on credit or borrowing money. There's still, if you go to Nigeria today, you know, if you just can't pay cash for your car or a home even, then you can't have one. Unless things have changed. And I know we have people from Nigeria listening to us. Amen. And so so in my life earlier, even though I'm born again and preaching the Word of God and learning about faith and my faith for finances is growing, because I didn't, you know, sow and reap and grow in that area. Most of the time I'm going back now to the late 70s and all that. I don't even have an extra $500 just to say, well, bless God, I'm going to pay cash for a car. I don't even have an extra $500 to go do that with. Now it's different today, but back then I don't even have $500 to pay for cash for, you know. And if I did, you can't get much of a car for $500. I mean, that wouldn't even be a dependable car. Now, I'm not talking about the wisdom of finances or whether you should buy one that costs this or, you know, work it out where you can buy a good used car for $7,000. You don't have to have a $60,000. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm just making a point here. You follow me? So what I'm saying is as I use the world system in the sense that I went to a banker and got a loan, because in those days they didn't even do it at the car dealership. You got it somewhere else. You know. So I got financial help from the world system, if you want to put that. But I just didn't forget God. I mean, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. You get the car, but you got to have credit to be able to get the car. I'm believing God for a good deal. I'm believing God that I get a good trade-in on my car. I'm believing God for the right car. And I'm believing God for the money to be able to pay for this car. Because that in those days, just $200 payment's a big deal to me. So I'm trusting Him. I'm asking Him to help me with my monthly payments. Glory to God. And God did help me, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You might get a loan for something, but you know, it's wonderful that you hear about the testimonies of people that just paid, you know, $17 million for their brand new church building. But I promise you, for every one of those you hear, you'll hear 10,000 about people that got good loans, good deals, lower interest rate things, and God helped them pay off their building. God was involved the whole way. Is it better just to believe God for $17 million? Sure, have at it. But in the meantime, you're just going to not have a building? Don't be stupid. I didn't say that. The Lord did. So without being able to pay cash, you can finance a car and believe God and trust God, and it'd be a blessing to you. Or like in my case, you could go out and buy a junker or a walk. Well, praise God, in 1999, I was given a brand new truck. And then in 2007, I mean, that truck by then is what, 10 years old, I was given another brand new truck. Well, my faith worked. My faith's working. The last one, nobody gave me a brand new truck. You know, because it's 2021 now. So that 2007 got older. And in 2017, I went out and financed one. But I'm trusting God. I'm believing God for my finances. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm operating in wisdom. I'm believing Him for all those things like I talked about. I know that He's my source. I'm not looking for man to be my source. I'm believing God. I made the payments easily, easy breezy, no sweat. And then after 18 months, I paid the whole thing off. Well, that was God. Because, I mean, that took $22,000 to pay. I paid it off. Glory to God. So realize, again, number one, medical science are man's help in every area of life, not just in this area, to get you mental help, to get you help with your finances, to help you legally, professional help. Man's help in any area. Medical science is limited in what it can do for you sometimes. Sometimes, like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, you can't get help. There is no help in the world. And then number two, even if we receive help from medical science or other professionals, they are never a replacement for God. Always depend on Him. Always trust in Him. Always rely on Him. Always look to Him. Always have faith in God. As your healer, as your savior, as your protector, as your help, as your source for finances, He is our counselor in all the affairs of life. Amen. I said amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Glory to God. Well, in the Old Testament, I'll give you this example. In the Old Testament, and you know, the Bible said, the book of Corinthians tells us that everything that happened to those people in the Old Testament was written to be an example to us, to instruct us, to teach us, and to even to warn us not to make the mistakes that they made. You're familiar with that? That's in Corinthians. And so in the Old Testament, you know, sometimes the king, sometimes they numbered their, you know, God told them to number the people. But sometimes the God told them over and over again, He said, don't number the troops. Why does He not want them to number the troops? Because bottom line, He wants them to trust in Him and depend on Him and rely on Him as their victor, and not in their ability to fight a war because of their numbers. Amen. And so, why? He says, don't see how many you have and then compare that to the size of the enemy army and then see if in the natural you think that you can win the battle because you're depending on your strength, your numbers, you know. You're saying, ooh, we got 20,000 horses and chariots. Horse and chariot back then, it's all ground warfare. That'd be like saying 20,000 tanks today, you know. You got 20,000, you know, we got 100,000 men and 20,000 horses and chariots, and they only got 80, and they only have 5 horses. We'll go to battle against them. Yeah, come on. You're dependent on your strength. Oh, God's saying don't do that. And so yes, train and fight. Yes, get yourself ready. Send your army out. You know, we love those one or two stories where the army didn't go out. They said, one time, you know, they sent the praisers out first. But you know, that's not the normal way God delivered them. The normal way God delivered them is they went out and fought and God gave them the victory. Well, their army wasn't just a ragtag bunch of nothing saying we trust God. They had trained. You know, you're talking about some of the Navy SEALs. Look at David's mighty men. Dear God, those boys were bad to the bone. Amen. And so they would train and they would fight, but their trust was to be in God. They trusted God for the victory, and they realized that they had a covenant with God, and it was the power of God and the ability of God and the strength of God and the anointing of God that gave them the ability to win their battles, not their own might. So here's a certain king, you know, and he looks at the enemy. He has an army of 300,000 people, and they have 100,000 chariots. And so he gets a little nervous about this because they're, you know, one of their enemies, and they're obviously gathering themselves to attack Israel. And he calls his commanders in there, so to speak, and he says, "Go count the army." Now, somebody who's got some sense would say, "Don't do that, king, don't do that, king, don't do that, king." But right now it's like, "Hey, forget this God stuff, but this is serious. Go count the army." And they come back and they said, "Well, you know, Your Highness, we counted, and we got 132,000 men, and we have, 24,000 chariots. They got 300 and 100,000. And he goes, "Are you sure? Did y'all count those guys over there in the northern part of the kingdom? And y'all didn't forget that?" "No, king, we counted them. That's all there is. That's all we have." Amen. See, and so he, instead of trusting God, this is a makeup story, but it's based on reality of Old Testament scriptures. All right, you follow me? And so what that king would do, he said, you know, because all things being equal, God is on their side. God, they have a covenant with God. When I say all things being equal, I mean they're following God. They're not, you know, in one of their backslidden periods. They're following God and living for God. They have a covenant with God that absolutely guarantees them defeat over their enemies. So, but the king sometimes would forget about God, various ones, and he'd go out and try to find other nations to fight against them. You know, they're coming against us. After they defeat us, they're going to go around the corner where you live, and they're going to defeat you too, so you might as well join up with us. And sometimes he'd try to persuade people. Sometimes it was to their mutual benefit to join forces. Sometimes he would pay people. King Asa was a good king, but in the last of his days, he got a little off there. He robbed the temple of all the precious things that were in it, the temple of God, to pay another nation to help him fight against an oncoming king. Sometimes they would make agreements with them. You know, we've always made you pay taxes because we're stronger and bigger than you. You won't have to do this anymore if you just come fight with us. And so now he would look and go, "Ha, now my army's a lot bigger than theirs. We put my army of 132,000 with these other three nations. I got to make an alliance with me, a treaty with me. Now we have 450,000, and now we have 200. Come on, boys, we'll fight them." What is he doing? He's trusting in the arm of the flesh. He's trusting in his numbers. He's not trusting in God. He's not relying on God. And they'd go out to battle, and they'd get defeated. Amen? But you know something? That's exactly what some Christians do today. They trust in the world's help totally and completely. And they don't acknowledge God. Something gets serious, like I said, and so they don't rely on God, and they rely on medicine, they rely on some on loans and legal help, and want the government to do something for them or protect them, and they want some counselor to do something and help them. They want their job to do something for them. Listen to what God told the Israelites about that. You ready for this? Isaiah 31:1. Now keep this in context. The context we're talking about, it is not wrong to use medical help, but always put your trust and reliance on God. But don't just forget about God when it comes to anything that man can do for you. And look, Isaiah 31, it says, "Woe to those." Now, you know, the best way I know how to describe woe is I've described it like this over the years. If you ever have a vision and Jesus appears to you and he points his finger to you and he says, "Woe," then you know you're in trouble. "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help." Egypt is a type of the world. Everybody say the world. The world. You know, so you're going down to Egypt. Egypt's got big armies. You know, sometimes they were at peace with you. Why are you going to the world for help? I'm your God. You have a covenant with me. "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely." Everybody say rely. Rely. On horses. You got to understand, if you got a horse back then, that's a big thing, you know, back then. "Rely on horses and trust." Notice the terminology. You're relying on horses. You're trusting in chariots. You're trusting in the world, for they are many. "And in horsemen, because they are very strong, but who do not look to." Always look to God. You got a family problem? Look to God. Well, you know, they got this psychiatrist over here, and he's supposed to be a real big help to people. Well, maybe he is and maybe he isn't, but God always is. And if you do go to him, listen to what he says, but bottom line, pray about it, seek God, and make sure it lines up with the Word of God, and make sure you're operating according to what God wants you to do. Look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. So what were they doing? They were going to the world. They were relying on horses. They were trusting in the arm of the flesh. Amen. They did not look to the Holy One of Israel. They did not seek the Lord. They did not rely on God. Now you're right there. Just back up to Isaiah 30. Amen. When it comes to doctors and medicine and people sometimes, glory to God, is trust God or forget God and look to the world. Is trust God or forget God and look to doctors. If you need medical help, go to the doctor, but go in faith, trusting God. We stumble over this, and I understand why, because it puts a conflict in us. Well, how can I say I believe God yet go to the doctor at the same time? If you need help, if the Lord leads you, because the Lord knows where you're at, and He knows where your faith is at. If you need help, or if you know that you should, you feel led to go to the, it's not an either-or situation. Go in faith, trust in God. The real problem is not that you went to a doctor or not that you went to the bank. The real problem is sometimes people look to man for help and look to doctors for help exclusively, and then they forget about God altogether. If you need medical help, you can and should go to the doctor, but go in faith. Are you following me? Go in faith. So in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1, it says, but if you don't go in faith, see, and you just forget about God. This is the other side of the coin. It says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me. There's been people over the years that I understand getting professional help, quote unquote. I mean, sometimes, but I understand that professional help doesn't understand anything about the devil sometimes. I understand that sometimes they don't know God. And you're going, yeah, but I got this little demon-possessed kid. I'm going to give me some professional help. Well, don't discount the minister and pastoral counseling under the anointing of the Spirit of God.
That's right. Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
I knew a psychiatrist one time. He was a doctor at the local university. And I knew him on a personal level, not super close, but personally. I was playing a little racquetball in those days, so I played racquetball with him a few times. So I know him. It's not like, now he's a doctor at a university teaching psychology, but he also has a private practice where he counsels people as a psychiatrist. And, he was a nice guy. It wasn't that he was some kind of wicked person or messed up or anything. No, he was a nice guy, but just being, because you just walk into somebody like that and you just see him on a professional level, but we're joking around and kidding with each other, and I get to know him a little bit personally. And just bottom line, I wanted to take my dog to him for counseling. You follow me? I'm serious. There was no way he was going to help anybody with his particular viewpoint that was unbiblical. It says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not by my spirit. They may add sin to sin. Now he's talking about rebellion and sin, and he's not talking about they're out drinking and gambling and cussing and carousing. He's talking about people that don't look to him, that don't rely on him, that don't depend on him. Can you read? Is that what it says? Woe to them who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not by my spirit. They may add sin to sin, who walk and go down to Egypt. See, we were delivered. The children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. They were delivered out of the world. Egypt's type of the world. And have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves. They strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They look to Pharaoh to be their deliverer and help and protector. They trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, glory to God, and your trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Hallelujah. They didn't look to God for counsel. They didn't look to God for direction. And they trusted in the flesh. They trusted in human health. They trusted in the flesh. Big mistake. Everybody say, big mistake. I've always liked Proverbs 21:31. It says this, the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Horse is a big deal, again, in battle. Chariots, horses. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but Deliverance is of the Lord. Yeah, we're going to get ourselves ready. We're going to prepare ourselves. We're going to do our part in the natural, you know. But when we go to battle, we're not going because we think we're so good, and because we're not trusting our numbers. Our dependency is on God. And we understand and recognize and we have faith in the fact that God, our covenant-keeping God, is going to deliver us. So yes, you can go to the doctor. Sometimes you may need to. That's absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when you go recognizing that God is the healer and that He's your source of deliverance. Can you say amen? Psalms 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our God. So, you might utilize medical professionals or financial professionals or legal professionals or professionals in some other areas. But, bottom line, look to the Lord. Depend on Him. Listen to Him. Acknowledge Him. Follow His advice and leading, because you know that, bottom line, deliverance and help and victory and healing comes from God. Don't be like people that just forget God when things get serious and then run demand for help, or just rely on their own ability and strength and say, I got this. No, you ain't got nothing. Like I said, we can't take our next breath apart from God. Are you listening to me? So you can go to them and you can hear what they say. I want you to get this clearly. But when you go to them and hear what they say, even a medical doctor, and I put them a little bit higher, we really trust and have confidence in them. You know, when I first started preaching, and our whole thing, you know, and you know this along with many others, was this is the truth. This is the Word of God. And so to try to get across, we'd say you should trust this like you do the word of a trusted doctor. Because whatever the doctor tells people to do, they usually just do it. But that's not always wise. Most of the time what they're telling you is absolutely right, but you ought to always, if you are using medical help, you ought to check in your spirit and make sure you have peace about it. Make sure this is what God wants you to do. Are you listening to me? So you should pray. Pray, yes, you should pray. Even though you went and heard what the banker said, even though you heard what the lawyer said, even though you heard what the doctor said, even though you heard what the child psychiatrist said, you should pray and judge things by the Word and follow the leading of the Spirit, and not just, let me say it to you this way, don't just automatically follow their counsel. It may be very good, it may be very wise, it may be very helpful. That child psychiatrist may show you something about your kid that, and you go, you know, about his diet or about some medical issue with his life, and you go, oh, I didn't realize that. This is not a behavioral problem at all, is it? And that helps you. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're for that. Thank God for that. Amen. The Spirit of God may even lead people to go and get that information because, you know, knowledge is power. And the truth, even natural truth, sets people free. And sometimes people are ignorant of the truth, spiritual truth and natural truth. But you know, here's a doctor. He wants to do a certain procedure. He wants to treat you with a certain medication. He wants to perform some surgery or procedure on you. And you go, well, you know, it seems good to you. Seems good to the Holy Ghost. You don't have any check. In other words, you don't feel uneasy about that. Because if you feel uneasy about something in your heart, not your head, but in your heart, that's the leading of the Spirit telling you not to do it. So you don't have a check. You're at peace about it, then just go ahead and go. But go trust in God. Go ahead believing that everything's going to come out perfectly, and go believing for a quick recovery. Always believe for a quick recovery. Everybody say, always believe for a quick recovery.
Always believe for a quick recovery.
And then take your treatment, take your procedure, take the medicine by faith, and expect great results. And that's exactly what you get, because what you believe will come to pass. Sometimes people are in a position to believe certain things, but they're not in a position to believe other things. Find out where you can hook up and actually, once you believe, it's going to work. See, that's what I mean when I say, if I can't believe God for $2 million, I'll believe Him for one. I'll settle for one. Because if you can't believe Him for $2 million, then no matter, I don't care what kind of gymnastics you go through and how many confessions, it ain't going to work. But if you believe, but if I can believe Him for $1 million and I can really hook up, then it's going to work. Are you listening? Amen. Example, you know, here's somebody and they 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 They've had a stomach issue that kind of comes and goes, and they're praying about it, and they believe God, and they're okay for a month or two, but then 2 months later they have it again, and 3 months later, and on and off, 2 weeks it bothers them, then it doesn't bother them for three, and this goes on and off for 2 years, then it gets a little more intense, and so you just feel, oh, I need to go find out what's wrong. And so you go to the doctor, and he tells you there's something in there, and he says, you know, this is a simple procedure. We need to go in there and correct that, or we need to go in there and remove something. And it's a simple procedure. I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, it's simple, but all surgeries a little bit, you know, we're going to put you under, and no absolute guarantees, but this is simple. We should be able to do this. So you back up. Your body will heal itself. Not us. Who made the body? He designed it in such a way that it heals up itself. So if you get a cut, it just heals up. So you look at that and you say, well, praise God, amen. I just don't say, give me a day to pray about this. And you come back and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you say, I'm going to do it, and everything's going to turn out all right. And you do it, and everything does turn out all right. Can you say amen? But if you're not comfortable with doing what the doctor's telling you, even a trusted doctor, or if you have a check and you're persuaded, and you are not fully persuaded, you're not comfortable with what they're telling you, but in your heart you're fully persuaded that God's got this and He's going to take care of it and that you are healed. That's faith, being fully persuaded. If you're fully confident, fully persuaded, amen. I said amen. Well, you know, if that's the case, then go with your gut feeling, go with what the Word of God says, and just say, no, I believe God, and I know that I know that I know that I know I'm all right, and then you say, I don't need this procedure. See, to go and have that procedure, if that's the way God's leading you or trying to lead you, then to go ahead and follow their advice, do what they say, it might not kill you, but it would be a mistake. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you understand what I'm saying? One time I went to just a regular old doctor visit, just whatever, and you don't hear this term anymore, but back about, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, you heard people talk about this all the time. Maybe it's because of the invention of computers. You'd hear people talk about carpal tunnel syndrome, in your hands. It's not a major disease, but I asked the doctor about that, because I had some symptoms and all, and that's what he told me. He said you've got carpal tunnel syndrome or possible arthritis that could turn into rheumatoid arthritis. Well, that was 25 years ago, and of course, if it's not treated, it can lead to, doesn't have to, but it can lead to other problems, can lead to permanent nerve damage and so forth, and it just doesn't go away. If that's what you've really got, it just doesn't go away on its own. But I was within myself. See, because I just went to the doctor and I just asked him casually about that, but within myself, I was confident. Say, that's faith. Say, that's faith. I was confident that I didn't need to do what he was suggesting that I do, that I was going to be okay, amen, and that it would go away, and I wouldn't have any more trouble with it. And it did, and I didn't. But I was confident. I've heard people, giving their testimonies, and they were led. You ever heard somebody say they were led to go get another opinion? Now, sometimes people just go get another opinion because, especially when it comes to counseling, because they just don't like what you're telling them. I've had people come to me and say, that's the same thing Brother so-and-so told me. That's the same thing, Brother, not only him, but they've been to four different pastors. And they say, well, they're just going around looking for somebody to agree with them. You're not looking for counseling. You're looking for an excuse to still be rebellious and stupid. Amen. So I've heard people say, I just had an impression of weight. Sometimes the doctor is saying this is a serious thing and you've got to do something, you've got to take action right now. But their impression in their own heart was, see, now you don't have those impressions if you're not looking to God, if you're not depending on God, if you're not relying on God, or if you just freak out and go, help me, Egypt, help me. And they'd say, no, I had an impression to wait. Or they said, I went to another doctor and he ran some tests and came back and said, that's not it at all. He said, all that is this, and here, take these two pills and you'll be okay tomorrow. Well, that'd be better than having surgery, wouldn't it? Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So don't just automatically do everything a professional's telling you to do. Understand what they are telling you may be 100% accurate, but still, you are to look to the Lord. Amen. Because even if what they're telling you is 100% accurate, he may lead you another way. Well, if you're not even looking to him, you're certainly not going to pick up on whatever that leading is. But whatever that leading is will be to your benefit. And glory to God. This is especially true, I think, of professional advice that's not medical. Any professional that doesn't come from a biblical principles or a biblical worldview, sometimes they don't even know they're coming from biblical principles, but if they're not coming from biblical principles, will not give you the best advice. I was watching, this was the old 700 Club, I guess it's still going on, the 700 Club many, many years ago, and a guy came on that was a professional counselor. And he said, you know, when somebody came in with this problem or that problem or this problem or that problem, he said, within my field, he said, you got 12 different schools of thought on how you should treat this. And you got 15 different schools of thought on this one and 4 different schools of thought on this one. He said, but just through all my years of experience, I had realized this doesn't work, this doesn't, that works, this doesn't work, that this doesn't work, that works. He says, then I became a Christian. He said, I started reading my Bible. I found out that the things that worked were straight out of the Bible. The people that taught these principles didn't even know it came out of the Bible, but if it worked, it came out of the Bible. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I know, but sometimes they're giving you good advice. You might go to a lawyer and say, you know, this happened. He said, they owe me $3,700, and I need that $3,700 for my business. It's not right that they just don't want to pay me. They just want to beat me out of this money. And the lawyer looks at your case, and he says, you know, you've got a strong, strong case. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You can go to court. I'll get you your money back for you, and that's a fact, Jack. Well, you might do that. I know in Corinthians it talks about, you know, not taking Christians to court, but suffering the wrong. But you might do that. Laws of the land are to protect the rights of his citizens. That's why God ordained them. But on the other hand, even though that's what the professional counselor, in this case the lawyer, is telling you to do, you might come home and you're acknowledging God, you're looking to God, you're relying on God. Regardless of that $3,700, who's your source? That's not a trick question. Who's your source? Yeah, $3,700 is going to be gone in a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever but God is your source. And you come back home and you look to the Lord and the Lord says, forgive them, release them the debt, and don't take them to court. Lord, did you hear that, attorney? He told me we could win this case. He said, hey, there's no doubt about it. We're going to win this case. I'm going to get my $3,600 I really need it. I'm kind of behind. He says, but you follow the Lord and you do what the Lord tells you to do. Then a month later, you get this incredible contract that makes you about 4 times as much money as you normally make. Or 4 months later, you get a $10,000 unexpected check that you would not have gotten unless you had forgiven that man that $3,700 debt. Say, God's way is the best. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Now, you know, professional financial counselors, you know, several people have come to me and said, I went to a professional counselor, you know. They said, you know what he told me? He looked at all my finances and the first thing he told me was you got to quit that tithing. Is that good advice? From their perspective, because they want to operate in wisdom principles and they know you need to budget and they know you need to live within your means, but in that particular case, that's not good advice at all. One well-known financial guru, extremely well-known, tells people, I went broke tithing, but he is a tither. You have to understand where this man is. He is a tither and he does tithe. And his point is, yes, you need to tithe. You need to do it in obedience. You need to do it with the right motives. You need to do it in faith, but you still need to budget. And you still need to live within your means. Because even if you're tithing and you violate all these other scriptural principles and you're lazy and don't work and don't budget and don't take care of your money and don't operate in wisdom and overspend and so forth, he says you're going to end up broke. So, sir, certainly. Amen. And so, amen, some marriage professionals and counselors and child training experts. See, we're talking about not trusting in the arm of the flesh, whether it's medical or any other, because like the woman with the issue of blood, they couldn't help her. So sometimes they can't help you. Sometimes they'll give you good advice. But even then, talk to God and keep depending on God and keep trusting in God. And sometimes realize that, quote unquote, the professionals are going to give you horrible advice. And you should not follow it just because they're, quote unquote, professional. I said, you should not follow it. Amen. Amen. Never just automatically do what the world tells you to do. I don't care if it's a banker or a lawyer. Never just automatically do what they tell you to do. Always pray to God, seek God, acknowledge God, trust in God, depend on God, look to God, and do what He leads you to do. He is God, and there is no other. Now, very interesting scripture here. It's the last one, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let me give you the context of this. Go back and read all of chapter 16. There's homework. This whole chapter is talking about King Asa. This chapter is telling us, because King Asa was a good king, you know, most of his life, about how God mightily delivered Israel from a great army. Listen, listen. Because they relied on the Lord. They trusted God. We were talking about a while ago, God at times didn't permit them to count the troops because that represented you're just depending on your own strength. You're depending on your own ability. Don't count the troops. Don't see how well equipped you are. Go out and fight in my name and you'll win the battle because you have a covenant with me. All right? Remember that? And so actually, if you read verse number 7, it says in the middle of that verse, this is the prophet talking to him, because he said, because you have relied. Well, that's the wrong one there. In verse 8, he says, were the Ethiopians... The Ethiopians and the Luwim, not a huge army. Now, you know how many people they had in their army? And you can read this in 2 Chronicles 14, 9 through 15. You know how big their army was? Huh? 1 million. A 1 million man army came out against the Israelites. Now, this is all ground warfare. There's no sea warfare. There's no planes in the sky. This is that's pretty impressive even by today's standards. This is what 1 million people came out against the Israelites. And he said they were a huge army. I guess they were. A million's a huge. And very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because you relied on the Lord, He delivered them into your hand. He's reminding Asa of that because after that victory, here comes whatever time goes by, and here comes another army out against him, and this time he did not. Say he did not. He did not rely on the Lord. He got nervous, as we say. Amen. And he began to go. He actually began to rob the silver and gold out of the temple of God to pay off these other nations to come be on his side. And so verse 7 says, at that time, Hananiah, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa because Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on, you look to the world. You didn't trust me. You can use the world system, but always trust God. But in this case, you relied totally, so to speak, on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God. Therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. In other words, because he did not trust in God, amen, he only had a partial victory, and now he was going to have trouble with this other kingdom throughout the rest of his life. That is, as we said a while ago, faith misplaced is a miracle lost. Faith misplaced is a miracle missed or a miracle lost. A 1 million man army comes out against him and he trusts in God. He relies on God. He knows he's got a covenant with God and God protects them and delivers them and gives them the victory. Here comes this other little punk army out and instead of relying on God, he forgets all about God, goes and pays other nations to come fight at his side. And God says, because of that, you're going to have problems. You're only going to get a partial victory, and you're going to continually have problems with this enemy. That was faith misplaced. Instead of trusting in God, he trusted in the arm of the flesh. He trusted in those other armies. He trusted in Egypt, the world, to help him, and he lost the victory. Now, so it's in that setting that we read verse 12. And in the verse 12, and in the 39th year, of his reign, he's older, but 39 years of reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. Very interesting disease in his feet. Feet is where we have contact with the world. See, this is out of the world. He became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe, yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Now, the thing about this scripture is not, this is not an indictment at all against doctors. That's not the point. The emphasis on, in the setting, the whole setting of this chapter is, He rely on the Lord, rely on the Lord, and you did not rely. You did not rely. You lost the victory. And the emphasis is on, you did not seek the Lord. Amen. I said amen. And he died. Glory to God. He was trusting again in man. He was trusting again in the doctors, not God. Nothing wrong with going to the doctors, but if you go to the doctor, go in faith, trusting God, relying on God, believing God. So, but he trusted in the arm of the flesh and their abilities instead of the Lord. Glory to God, the arm of the flesh was typified in the disease he had in his feet. Our feet walk around and come in contact with the world. He was looking to the world for help, not God. The problem was not that he went to the doctors, but that he didn't rely on the Lord. You get that? You know, some people will read this because they want to defend doctors and say, physicians there means astrologers. Well, you can't prove that from the Hebrew. Everybody knows it's wrong to go to the stupid astrologer. Or they should. But that's not his point. His point is, it wasn't that he went to the doctor, it's that he could have went trusting God, but he ignored God, forgot God, didn't trust God, didn't depend on God, and just totally trusted in the world's way. That's why he lost the victory. That's why in this case he died. The Amplified Bible says his disease was severe, yet even in his illness, he did not seek the Lord, but relied only on the doctors. Other translations say he didn't ask God for help. He didn't turn to the Lord. He didn't look to the Lord. He didn't trust in the Lord, but instead sought help from only the physicians. One translation says he refused to seek the Lord and consulted doctors instead. Glory to God. So always, 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 always depend on, look to, rely on, acknowledge, have faith in God. Even if you do need to use the professionals of this world. And then realize, again, it's not have faith or forget faith and just go to the doctor. No, it's not an either-or proposition. You can have faith in God while you're being treated by medical science. And if you need medical help, always go in faith, still realizing that only God is your healer. Glory to God. And see, sometimes you just need to know within yourself whether you're in a position to receive without any help. I mean, if I ask you, if I would say, Brother Harold, you got on a red shirt? He'd go, no. Well, if you ask me if I've got faith for a $25 million building for us tomorrow, I'd say no. I know. I got faith for everything here. And it's all paid for. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And if we needed a $25 million building tomorrow, then we'd get faith for $25 million. So know within your help. Get help if you need it. And understand that God in His dealing with us, He knows where our faith is at. And He's out to help us. He's out to help us. He didn't want you to die. He wants you to live. I was at Brother Copeland's ministers conference just 3 or 4 years ago, and Jesse Duplantis got up and surprised everybody. His good friend Jerry Savelle didn't know it. Brother Copeland didn't know it. And he said, you know, this was in November. He said, just back a month or two ago, he said, not a stent. He said, I had open heart surgery. And everybody was like, what? He said, I was in my office, and the Lord said, you need to go to the doctor, and he felt a little twinge. He said, you need to go get that checked out. He said, I went to the doctor and they said, we can't find anything. He said, the Lord told me, push him. He went to it. He said, there's something there, dog. And he said, I can't find anything. The Lord said, push him. And he kept pushing him. They kept telling him there's nothing wrong. He kept telling them because the Lord kept telling him. And they finally said, oh my God, you're going to die if we don't fix this. And so he went to the doctor led by the Lord. The Lord knew the Lord will meet you where you're at. The Lord knows where you're at. And he didn't want him to die. And so he went in there and just had to just breeze through it, witness to the people almost instantly as he was on the operating table, and after he woke up was witnessing to him and got out of there and was perfectly fine. Well, thank God for that. Amen. Know within yourself where you're at. And understand and realize that God can and does use medical science. Amen. We thank God for that. But also know that man's help for us is limited. Sometimes it's limited to the point of they're saying, I can't help you. When we moved into this building, the banker says, I cannot help you. But I did what the Lord told me to do. And they said, okay, we'll do that. Praise God. Amen. If you go and receive medical help, go in faith. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He may say, don't do what they're telling you to do, Trust in the Lord, but always acknowledge Him. But don't ever, listen to me, don't ever go to the ER, don't ever go to the operating table, or take some medicine or treatment or have some procedure done apart from faith. Mix faith with what they're doing for you. It's not either or. Amen. Believe God to heal you and believe that He'll speed up the healing process and that you'll come out of it tremendously okay. Now, I close with this. Here's a tremendous example along these lines. Here's a person. They have an inoperable brain tumor. An inoperable terminal brain. In other words, it's going to kill them. If it's not removed, they're going to die. But it's inoperable because this thing is just, you know, just mixed into the brain, it just goes into the brain. The tentacles of this thing just go into the brain, and it's entangled in the brain. And so a surgeon says, I can't do that. I can't. That'll kill you. If I try to take that tumor out, you will die on the operating table. Now, you're going to die anyway, but you may live another year. You may live another 2 years, so it's better that you live than die on the operating table tomorrow. Well, they didn't accept that, so they went to another surgeon, told them the same thing. They didn't accept that. They went to another surgeon, told them the same thing. I don't know. They went to 3 or 4 surgeons. Every one of them told them, it's inoperable. We can't remove it. It's going to kill you, but we can't remove it. Amen. So they ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Of course, Raymond and Tulsa are a lot closer than like Cleveland and Chattanooga. Raymond and Tulsa, kind of broken era where Raymond's at, kind of running each other. Well, at that particular time, the City of Faith was going strong. Oral Roberts in the City of Faith. Well, so they went to Tulsa, but medical science is saying, we can't help you. And so they went to Tulsa, and they started an intended healing school at Raymond, have it every day on the campus of Raymond. And Keith Moore at that time was doing the services. You know, Keith's a tremendous man. And so, like I said, the City of Faith was going strong. Now, the City of Faith, their emphasis was on the hand of God and the hand of medicine working together. Now, they're not saying that you can't be Oral Roberts all those years as a tremendous healing evangelist. He got people healed by the power of God. And of course you can be healed by the power of God. And of course you should develop your faith so that that's all you need. But they also realize and know that some people will never be healed unless they get some help. And so he built the City of Faith, which was in those days $200 million. I don't know, it'd be like raising $1 billion today. And it was incredible. And they had those hands. Were those hands there when you went to? They had hands. I don't know how tall those hands are. They were like this, and they go up. Have you ever heard anybody talk about the hands? They moved them, but those hands were on the campus. And I mean, how tall are those, John? 30, 40 feet. 40 foot, something like that, you know? Well, those hands, by the way, were based on Oral Roberts' hands, you know, from the drawings. Because I'm just saying their emphasis. I'm not saying this is the only way or the perfect way, but they're saying their emphasis on was the hand of God and the hand of medicine to get you healed. So they started the City of Faith, and they had bona fide miracles at the City of Faith. You know, well-known people had miracles at the City of Faith. You know, Kenneth Hagin, Craig Hagin there. Even Sister Hagin had a miracle over there, and they said, this is a miracle, but doctors were involved. Amen. And so a surgeon at the City of Faith agreed to do brain surgery on them. But they were struggling with the fact because they had been going to healing school for however long, and they're hearing about believe you receive and trust in God and don't lean to your own understanding and don't lean to your senses. And they're struggling like a lot of people do with, how can I believe God and go to the doctor at the same time? Well, don't go to the doctor without faith. And so Keith ministered to them, and he explained some things to them, and he prayed for them. And when he prayed for them, he cursed the thing. You ever heard somebody curse something at the roots? I curse that tumor at its roots. Well, that's based on, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And the next day they found it was dried up from the roots. So he cursed that tumor. He's had a healing school, and though he cursed it, he asked God to help the surgeon successfully remove that tumor, which several surgeons have said could not be done without killing you. Guide him, Lord, help him, use his hands, and speed up the healing process. So they go to have surgery. This surgeon gets in there. He works on this person for about 4 hours, and he's getting nowhere. And he's getting frustrated, and he's getting tired, and he took a break, you know, and the person's lying there on the table being attended to by other people, and he took a moment and he asked God to help him. Thank God for doctors who know how to pray to God. He asked God to help him. So he went back and he said it just seemed kind of different, and so he had him position the person in a different way, and he said when they positioned him and turned his head in this different way, he said, I could tell that tumor was just dead from the roots. He said, and all those tentacles that were going into the brain, that they were dead, and they had somehow become loose, not me, they had somehow become loose, and I realized I could successfully just, in essence, pull it off. And so he pulled it off and sewed them back up, and they were totally 100% fine. Hallelujah. In their case, may not be your case, in their case, without the doctor's help, they would have died. But if they had gone to the doctor and not relied on and not trusted in God, they would have died. So they went to the doctor in faith and got tremendous results. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So that's an example of faith and healing working together. But whatever you do in life, because you are going to face different problems in life. Amen. Always. There's professionals out there with a lot of words. Some of their words don't agree with this book. Some of their words may be right, may be the truth, but God may lead you another. Whatever you do, always acknowledge Him first and foremost. Always look to Him. Always rely on God. Always trust in God. Always seek His counsel. Have faith in God and be led by the Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, I hope that helps you. I hope that helps you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to start prayer. Stay and pray if you can. Glory to God. And just about to give about a 10-minute break, and we'll start prayer. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. I thought it was 8 o'clock, but it's 8:09, so you have to forgive me again for going over.